Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that way we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. Good morning. Good morning on this Trinity Sunday, also known to preachers as Heresy Sunday. Not a Sunday to celebrate as much as to dread, because the notion of one God as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is really hard to explain. Every metaphor of the Trinity, and you've likely heard many already, has its limitations. Whether it is the triple point in chemistry, where when the substance can simultaneously exist as a liquid, as a gas, and as a solid, and I know I've lost many of you already, or God understood as vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry flavors of Neapolitan ice cream, a la Paula 2015. Oh, how my head hurts. So at the end of the day, what we cannot explain, we often call it mystery and leave it at that. But what if the focus of God in three persons is not how? How can it be? How does it work? But rather, why? Why is it so important to experience God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Why did the early church fight so hard to keep this profound way of understanding God? What does God as three persons convey that lead us to the heart of who God is? Our scriptures don't get into specifics about how it all works, but what we do know is that much is written in scriptures about the relationships between God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Last week, we heard Mother Paula talk about the Spirit as God's emissary, empowered to represent God in a very personal way. In today's gospel reading, the Spirit speaks not of its own, but takes what comes from the Father and belongs to the Son and gives it to the disciples. From our Romans passage, the Holy Spirit acts as God's instrument of love and Jesus as God's instrument of peace. In these passages and throughout Scripture, there is interdependence. Each person of the Trinity looking to the other, working with, and relying on the other. Sometimes it helps to visualize what we describe through words. So in your worship bulletin today, I think it's at the back, there's a copy of a well-known icon depicting the Trinity. It looks something like this. The original icon, somewhat faded and now kept in a gallery in Moscow, was painted by Andrei Rublev in the early 1400s. Icons in history have been instruments for teaching and for prayer, and this icon in particular helps express the community of three persons and one God. It illustrates a story from Genesis chapter 18 when Abraham and Sarah and children extended their hospitality to three angels. And later in church tradition, it is seen, these angels are seen as the Trinitarian God. From left to right, we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. each with halos and wings, gazing at each other, engaging in conversation and tilting their heads. They sit in a way that form a circle with no beginning and no end, because there is no hierarchy or rank among them. It is a portrayal of peace, of mutual respect, and of love. Episcopal theologian Dwight Shiley writes that the Trinity is a way of talking about the richness of God's communal life, that at the heart of the Trinity is the deeply relational God who loves abundantly, respects the other deeply, and shares power graciously. And that we are created in God's image means we also are made for relationship and made for interdependence. Our spiritual journeys are not meant to be taken alone. We need people to love on us, just as we need people to receive our love and care. For when we go through periods of darkness, we need the faith of those around us. Today, later in the service, our celebration of our 9 graduates from EFM, Educating from Ministry, is a great example of interdependence. They have been there for each other every Monday night for the last 4 years, on their spiritual journey, in their deepening of their faith. Today we celebrate not only their accomplishments, but also that they did this together. That God is deeply relational also extends beyond the Trinity and invites us in. In this icon, there is an open space in front of the table for us, so that this is not just a depiction of who God is, but also an invitation for us to join in the holy meal, and join in that conversation. God wants us and welcomes us to complete this circle. This is not something for us to look at up there at a distance, like Da Vinci's Last Supper. This is a holy meal that is completed only when we participate in it. This is God's hospitality, that there is an abundance of love in the Trinity, and this love pours out to us as a gift. The Creator's love in giving us life, the Redeemer's sacrificial love in giving us eternal life, and the Sustainer's love in helping us live abundantly. That we are created in this Trinitarian image of God also means that we welcome others, creating a place for them and inviting them into our midst. A commentator of this icon writes, "We are invited to complete the circle, to join the dance, to complete the movements of God in the world by our own response." So the question is, how are we creating that space at the table? Whether in our homes, in our hearts, or in our schedules. Whom might God be welcoming to our table? This commentator on the Trinity icon also wrote that when Abraham and Sarah welcomed the 3 angels, they did not know that they were welcoming God. They were simply pouring out their love to strangers. But what was unexpected and amazing was that their hospitality became God's hospitality to them. The visitors, in turn, blessed Abraham and Sarah with the promise of a son. The Message, which is a modern paraphrase, offers the fitting interpretation of our Romans reading. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same time that God has already thrown open God's door to us. So as soon as we open up a sacred space for others, we just might be inviting God into our midst. And many of you might have had these holy and God moments. You were trying to extend love by inviting someone into your home, or serving the homeless at St. Luke's, or visiting someone who is not feeling well. But somehow these moments became profound and powerful God moments as you felt an indescribable abundance of God's love. I recently experienced this profound moment of hospitality and love this past Christmas Eve at the 5 o'clock family worship service. Christmas Eve is a time not only to celebrate and worship together as a parish, but also to welcome people who only come on certain occasions. A moment of hospitality for me was in sharing communion with people who rarely find themselves at worship services. So Paula and I were providing communion with the chalice bearers at the bottom of the steps here for two very long lines of people. But for me, there was this one moment. This woman I had never seen before stepped forward to receive communion from me. And immediately, I just felt these goosebumps. It was this indescribable, holy and sacred moment, as if I was giving communion to Jesus. So here I was, trying to be hospitable, yet I was the one in that moment feeling blessed. And in these moments, just as with the icon, we find ourselves being invited into the community of God. So when I gaze at this icon and know that there is a place for me at the table, what is mysterious to me is no longer the how. How could three be one? Instead, I get goosebumps, wondering, how on earth is it possible that God loves us enough to create us in the first place? How on earth is it possible that Christ would live and die for me and for everyone else? And how is it possible that the Spirit will be present to gift us with abundant life? That there is such love baffles me, because I, and likely most of us, are not used to this kind of love. But for me, that's when mystery transforms into wonder. I do not know how, yet how wonderful it is to be invited into this love and to create circles of love for others. Can it be that God throughout history has kept this doctrine of the Trinity as a testament of God's love and as an invitation for us to respond with love? I certainly hope so. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.